Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me. It doesn't matter how many times I preach. It doesn't matter how many people I speak to. It can be a group of 10. It can be a group of 10,000. Well, I've never spoke to 10,000, but I would assume it's the same feeling. But the fact of the matter is, it never ceases to amaze me. I always get the heebie-jeebies, and the stomach is turning and tossing, and it's just like, you know. But it's amazing that the minute you begin to pray and just say, God, I literally can't. You please, He just comes, and there's a calmness that just takes place, and I'm just so thankful to God for everything that He's doing here at Oceans, and I'm excited about the word tonight. It's how many of you, just for sake of just kind of trying to get an idea of who was all here, who was here this morning for first and second service, just to see by the show of hands? Okay, quite a lot of you. Okay, amen. Let's just jump right into it. Tonight I'm going to be talking about the power of agreement. The power of agreement. And it's amazing how this all kind of took place and how this all happened, because a lot of what I'm going to be speaking tonight about tonight is actually speaking in faith. So it just, praise God, we'll just see what happens. Amen. Let's jump to Mark 11, 22 through 24. Mark 11, 22 through 24. And if you were here this morning, this will be very familiar. But it's okay. It's good. The word of God is good. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says," turn to your neighbor and say, says, "to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart," and there's a key right there, "but believes that those things that he says," turn to your neighbor and say, says, "will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and that you will have them." I firmly believe that what Pastor spoke about this morning is so true. This is a do-it generation. This is a do-it generation that is stepping out of the realm of just hoping. We're stepping out of the realm of just, I'm going to think about it and think and think and think, and it's going to stay in here. I'm just going to hope for my breakthrough. I'm just going to think about my breakthrough. No, I firmly believe that this is a generation that God is rising up to be the do-it generation, that gets a little bit of boldness, that gets a little bit of faith, that'll speak it out and then go do something about it. Amen? You know, we can hope, and there's nothing wrong with hope. There's nothing wrong with thinking about it. Listen, before you get your breakthrough, you do need to kind of think about what it is that you need breakthrough for. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a hope. Amen? But at the end of the day, if all I want is, I hope I have a beautiful wife and just... You know, it's like staring at the orange tree and just going, "Apple!" And hoping an apple goes pook on the orange tree. There's got to be a doing. There's got to be a doing. And there's a certain level of faith that is required to open our mouths. Because at the end of the day, we can think all we want. And there, it does take a level of faith to think it. It does, because I've counseled with precious young people. I'm youth pastor here at Oceans by the grace of God, and I've got to counsel some of the youth here, and it amazes me when like almost like a spirit of depression or morbidity comes upon them. It's like they lose all hope, and they lose the ability to hope for a future, to hope for a better outcome, to hope for what can take place. So there is a certain amount of faith that says, I believe what's in this book. I can think it and I believe it. Now, this goes above beyond, you know, mind over matter and anything new age like that. But it does take a certain level of faith to go beyond, I think it, I can hope for it, to I'm going to proclaim it. Why? Because our reputation is at stake. It is. Let's be fair. If I stand up here and begin to proclaim all sorts of stuff over my life, my reputation in my own mind, although it shouldn't be like this, can I get an amen? It shouldn't, because at the end of the day, I'm just proclaiming the word of God, and that means it's not my reputation at hand, it's his. But here nor there, we're humans, and our reputation, it takes a certain amount of faith to say, I am healed when I'm sick. It takes a certain level of faith to say, I am prosperous when I can't pay my mortgage at the end of the month. It takes a certain amount of faith to open my mouth. When somebody's praying in a corporate prayer meeting, and they're declaring breakthrough over the schools and proclaiming revival over the schools, I can agree all I want on the inside. I can agree all I want. I can hope for it all I want. But it takes a certain amount of faith to say, yes, amen, I agree. I connect with that word. I take that word. I receive that word. It takes a level of faith to stand up with boldness and say, yes and amen. I agree with this. I take this. I declare this. It takes a level of faith. It takes a level of faith. Amen. And see, in this house at Oceans, you know, my pastor does it all the time. Our pastor, I get a little, you know, he's my pastor. But I'll share him. He's our pastor. He's always encouraging us and pushing us. Somebody say amen. Somebody, you know, and I do it all the time. The poor youth. Oh, my goodness. I beat them up all the time on Friday. I say two words. Say amen. Amen, Pastor Mike. Okay. And I say two more. Say amen. Amen, Pastor Mike. And I'll get them to do all sorts of stuff and, you know, elbow your neighbor and tell them you're blessed and smack them in the face twice and tell them that you're prosperous. And I, because, you know, and here's the thing. I'm getting them to proclaim. I'm getting them to speak it out. I was in the children's ministry a month ago, and we started out the children's service, and I got all the kids together, the Soul Surfers, and we stood in the center, and I said, listen, we're gonna do something this morning, and it's gonna be a little different, and I know it's gonna be a little weird to you, but we're gonna proclaim into the atmosphere. And they're looking at me like, you know, okay. And I said, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna stomp and clap and shout breakthrough. Breakthrough, 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 right? And these little kids are like, breakthrough, breakthrough. And they were like, not really sure what's going on. Like, this guy's nuts. But it didn't take long after they all begin to align themselves, after they all begin to agree. Now, all of a sudden, I got a whole room full of kids going, breakthrough, breakthrough. And they're proclaiming it with everything they got inside of them. Something happened in the atmosphere. The level of faith in the atmosphere went through the roof. The kids were like, I'm ready. I don't even know what breakthrough means, but I'm ready for it, Pastor Mike. Takes a certain level of faith to open our mouths. And we push, we push, we push. And most often people think it's to encourage us and to make us feel better, which it does. It shouldn't matter. You should be able to push through it and preach to two people where they're arguing against you the whole time and fighting you the same as you could to a room of 10,000 that are agreeing. But it definitely does something to the atmosphere. And that's what we're going to talk about. It's not about encouraging me and making me feel better when I'm up here. It's about what it does in the realm of the heavenlies. It's about what it does in the spiritual atmosphere to release an atmosphere for miracles, to release an atmosphere conducive for the supernatural power of God to flow. Amen? There's more and more amens, and we're not even through the opening. Praise the Lord. Romans 4, 16. Romans chapter 4, 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things, who calls those things, who calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. Oh, it's so good. We serve a supernatural God that wants to call those things that do not exist as though they did. I'm struggling, but I'm gonna call it out in faith. I'm sick, but I'm gonna call it out in faith. I'm single, but I'm not saying, listen, I'm very much married and happily married. I'm just, I got the look. I got the look. I was trying to make an example. Listen, if looks could kill, I was a dead man on the pulpit. We serve the God of the impossible. But it takes faith to believe that. And I believe a lot of us, we miss out on certain opportunities and certain blessings because, it takes a certain level of faith to believe it. First of all, the word says, do not doubt in his heart. That's believing. We need to believe. Doubt is one of the number one killers of the supernatural power of God. When you begin to doubt, when you begin to have unbelief, the supernatural power of God can be shut off. It can be cut off. So we have to get rid of that in our lives. We have to get rid of that in our generation to see God begin to encounter this generation, to see God begin to encounter this city. We got to remove doubt. We got to get rid of it. It can't even be a word in our vocabulary. What is doubt? You mean believe? That's what, okay. I just making sure there. But see, then we also have to ask. We have to speak. We have to say something. It takes our faith to the next level by proclaiming it, by opening up our mouths. Can we go to Matthew 21, 15 through 16? Matthew 21. And it's not a very long word tonight. Amen. So just bear with me. We'll get through this. Matthew 21. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, out of the mouth. Out of the mouth. Notice the word mouth in the previous scripture. When it comes to spiritual warfare, many of our tools only have one launching pad. Praise. As a weapon. Isaiah 61, it says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's a weapon. But praise is vocal. There, a shout of joy to proclaim. Amen. Prayer. The word. The great, powerful word of God. You can have all the logos you want in your head, but until you begin to, you gotta speak it out. The mouth is the launching pad for spiritual warfare, for so many of our weapons. We got to get to the place to where we begin to speak it. When we get an opportunity to praise, listen, I feel sorry for those who have to stand around me during praise and worship. The good Lord did not bless me with the same gifts that he blessed my wife. She can sing and sound beautiful, and it takes people into the presence of God. And I'm pretty sure unless God gives people supernatural deafness to not hear me, I'd take them out of it. But I don't miss an opportunity to praise. I don't miss an opportunity to worship. I get a chance to open my mouth. Hey! Woo! I mean, he's so good. And every time I praise, the harder it is, the worst possible place I could be. When I'm at the bottom, the lowest of lows, I mean, I'm at rock bottom. That's when we gotta praise the loudest. I mean, I just shout him down with everything that we got inside of us, and the devil stands and goes, he's lost it. I thought I was going to get him with the divorce. I thought I was going to get him with taking his job. I thought I was going to get him by keeping him addicted to drugs. Why is he praising? We got a lot to be thankful for. But it starts right here. We got to shout him down. We got to give him the praise. We got to give him the honor and the glory. Hey! The mouth is the launching pad for many of our spiritual weapons. But see, here's the thing that I find upsetting is the devil knows it too. Let's go to Revelation 16, 13. And it says this, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. The enemy is not afraid to open their mouth. Look at the news. They're not afraid to share their opinion. They're not afraid to stand up for their convictions in all the different things that's going on in the world. The enemy has got no problem vocalizing it. The enemy has got no problem praising it. They've got no problem singing about it. Don't believe me? Listen to some of the music our kids listen to. They'll shout it down in a second. Go to a secular concert and the guy leading the concert will say, wave your hands in the air, wave. And all the kids are going, oh, right? I mean, he'll get 50,000 people to be in agreement with him, and he's speaking about demonic things. But we come to church and we're like, when we go to a concert, we're bumping it, and we come to church singing about things that we should be, praising God, giving Him glory. I'm alive, I'm prosperous, I'm blessed, and we want to. Man, I wish this woman would stop singing. If I hear one more verse of Surrounded, I'm just gonna. Is everybody okay? The devil's not afraid of it, he's organized. And he'll use the mouth in a second. And he's very good at unifying, unfortunately. What about Nimrod? The Tower of Babel. Super demonic. Totally against God. Everything that he was doing was not good. But they were unified. They had one sound. They had one language. And God said, listen, I need to go down there and do something before they get too out of hand, because they're about to reach levels that they shouldn't get to. I need to scatter them abroad and confuse their language. The enemy understands this. Why can't the church? It's about time that the church gets a hold of this revelation. We grab a hold of agreement. We have the victory already. Let's take it a step further and take this city, take this state, take this nation. Our mouths and our words must be watched over. Ultimately, when the word comes out of our mouth, it should settle the conflict with the enemy. It's done. It should. Amen? Now see, Paul, we're going to talk about him in just a second. I love Paul because he's very balanced, you know. Be careful how you pray in tongues, and these are the guidelines for tongues. But yet, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than ye all. He's very, very balanced. Y'all praise, get crazy, get loud, but let's do everything in order. If we're going to praise and get loud and crazy and give Him a shout of praise, let's do it all together. But if we're going to worship, let's all worship together. Let's do all things in order. Right? That's what I love about Paul. It brings us into a true unity when we move as one body, when we worship as one body, when we praise as one body, when we agree in the Spirit, when we do these things, we're doing it as one. And what it does in the realm of the heavens is amazing. It releases so much of the supernatural. And I'm so excited to see this church go to the next level. And see this city go to the next level. And to see everybody in Vero Beach fall in love with Jesus. And that's our heart's desire as Christians. Amen. So let's just take a minute and let's just see what the wonderful Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 10. And at the moment he was addressing, if you skip ahead, don't go there. But if you were to skip ahead in verses 12 and 13, it's talking about, you know, there's some strife within the church leaders. and specifically whose teachings they were submitting themselves to. It says, you know, are you of Paul? Are you of Apollos? Are you of Jesus? And he's coming in to settle the strife amongst the leaders. Is this okay? But either way, even in addressing leaders, there's something he's teaching here, and that's the point I want to get across. It says, now that I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all, turn to your neighbor and say all, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Anywhere there are multiple visions, there will always be division. And division only causes hurt, strife, and church splits. We must move in unity. We must praise in unity. We must worship in unity. Amen. When we hear something and it begins to connect in our spirit, it's okay. Say amen. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 13. Okay. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the spirit. I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing in the spirit. I will also sing in the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, amen, at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Paul always brings a balance. It's good to pray in tongues, but it's also good to pray in our understanding. It's good to sing in the spirit, but it's also good to sing in our understanding. Let all things be done in order. And it's okay to say amen in church. It is. It takes a step of faith to open your mouth and say it. Because, you know, there's always, listen, I'm not the only one who's in the front row and pastors, it's just revelation. Rhema is coming to me and inside I'm doing the little happy dance and I'm like, am I going to be the only one to say amen here? Forget it. Amen, pastor. Am I the only one that's ever done that? I mean, I know I've heard Alex Davidson do it. He's like, hey, oh, no one else was going with it. Okay. Amen. It's okay. Amen literally means so be it. And when the word comes to us, we begin to agree with that word. There's so much power locked up in that. Vocal agreement can change an atmosphere. As you begin to open your mouth, as you begin to agree. So you may feel it in your spirit. You may be again to agree in your mind, but it does take a level of faith to say it. And it's in this place, when we begin to agree vocally, that the atmosphere begins to shift. In Deuteronomy 32, it says that one will set 1,000 to flight, but two will set 10,000 to flight. Can we imagine what a whole sanctuary filled of New Testament Holy Ghost believers can do when we begin to agree? When we're praying for the nation in the prayer meetings, a corporate prayer meeting, when more than three people will shout him down and say yes and amen, when we can get more than just one or two people to begin to agree that God's going to take this city, that God's going to take this nation, when we can begin to agree, oh, the devil better run and hide. One has set 1,000 a flight. Two will set 10,000 a flight. I want to know what 500 will do. I want to know what 1,500 will do. I want to know what 20,000 will do. I want to know. What about Paul and Silas in Acts 16? And they're locked up in jail. And it doesn't look so good, and they're in the shackles, and they're in the lowest part of the lows, and it stinks, and it's grunging, and there's rats all over the place, and it's not a good place to be. And at the darkest hour of the night, at about midnight, the Word of God says that Paul and Silas begin to pray together. They begin to praise together, and all of a sudden, there was a shaking.
The shackles were loosed. The place broke apart. And guess what? Not only themselves were set free, but those who were listening were set free as well. It's about time that we begin to agree, not even for ourselves, but for maybe that one who doesn't want to agree. Maybe for that one that doesn't have that boldness. Maybe for that one that ain't quite there yet. Hey, brother, I'm going to agree for you. I'm going to believe for you. I'm going to take it for you. I believe this city's going to be changed. Oh my God. Can we, I don't actually have it in my notes. Can we go to I think it's Joshua 6. I believe it's Joshua 6. Just start in verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, the mighty and the mighty men of valor." Yeah, here it is. "And you shall march around the city, all you men of war. And you shall all go around the city once." And they all went in unity, and they all followed in obedience to what God said to do. They all responded to the word. They all began to shout with praise. They all responded to what needed to be done. And what happened? Great victory. The walls came down. There's so much power in agreement. Is everybody okay? I'm going to read through these pretty quick. You don't need to follow me with the scriptures because I'm not going to hang on them too long. But 1 Chronicles 16:36 says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting." And all the people said, "Amen," and praise the Lord. Nehemiah 5:13, "Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out each man from his house and from this property who does not perform this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied." And all the assembly said, "Amen," and praise the Lord. And then the people did according to this promise. Acts 2:1-4 says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house that they were sitting. And then appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." They were all together. They were all praying. They were all in agreement. They were all in one accord. And all of a sudden the supernatural began to flow in their lives. Acts 1:14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and in supplication," which means asking or begging earnestly. In Acts 8:6-8, it says, "And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city." There's so much power in agreement. And it's okay in this house to agree and say amen. Amen. Now, with that being said, I'm not telling you to just be, you know, I would hope by now that you would trust that the leadership here really strives with everything inside of them to teach the truth and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. We really do. I'm a young pastor, so I do make mistakes from time to time, but my heart's intent is to only and always share the truth and what is locked up in the Word of God. So what I'm telling you tonight is don't just blindly follow, but when it connects, don't hold your shout back. When you feel it, you know, I hear his preacher all the time, one of the guys that I listen to from time to time, he says, "Don't shout me down when the preaching's good. Don't shout me down when the preaching's good." Don't be afraid to vocally connect, because it does something to the atmosphere. Listen, the night crowd has got it at Oceans. Y'all are the wild bunch. Y'all will shout and praise in a minute. But don't be afraid, even if you feel like you're the only one. Remember, all things in order. If you see God moving in one specific way, you know, all things in order. Amen? Amen? But don't be afraid to agree. It releases the supernatural to flow. I love an atmosphere that is conducive for miracles. I love an atmosphere that is conducive for signs and wonders. And when the atmosphere is built for it, God just begins to do it. He just begins to do it. He just begins to do it. Let's take our faith to the next level. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, tonight in this place, in Jesus' mighty and precious name, Lord, I ask that we would take this city. For yes, the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent will take it by force. Father, by force, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' mighty and precious name, that this would be a generation that would rise up with boldness, that we would be like the Gideons that would get out of the winepress, you mighty man of valor. We would step up to the plate. Father, that we would get to this place to where we can agree with boldness. And Father, that we would see your kingdom expanded in Vero Beach week after week after week until everyone in this whole city is saved, Father. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing here at Oceans. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. And everyone agreed and said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.